your Bibles. Verse 9 through 22, I'm going to read to you as our text this morning. Chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 9 through 22. This cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from this power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Look at verse 17. That's basically our text. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. God has revealed himself to us. God is self-existent. He wasn't born, doesn't have a mom and pop. He doesn't need anybody. There's nothing that we can give him that he needs. He's self-existent. The world cannot contain the Lord. He said that to David when David wanted to build a house for the Lord. He said there's nothing that could contain him. God can come in his presence anywhere he wants to, but there's nothing that can contain him. Can't put him in a box. Our Lord said in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 17 through 19, that he was the first and last, the Alpha and Omega. That's the beginning and the end, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. He is eternal forevermore. He was dead and buried, but he's alive forevermore. God is revealed in many ways. Number one, he's revealed in nature. Look with me, if you would, at a couple of verses in the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans 1 and verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The reason men don't worship God is verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Nature reveals God. Things that are made. The psalmist said in Psalm 19 and verse 1 through 6, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The creation, look out in the sun and the moon and the stars and the sky, speaks of God. They can't be hid. They are everywhere. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Sun comes up in the morning, doesn't it? And it's often very bright, and it shines with power all day long until the darkness comes. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. There's nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. God has created all that we see and all that we know exists. I tell you, we're going to look at a couple of verses in Romans. I wanted to see chapter 8, if you're still got your bookmark there. Romans 8 and verse 22 and 23. For we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. So the creation groans within itself. This world's getting pretty old. And there's a new heaven and a new earth that we're looking forward to. And it seems as if the creation is looking forward to that day as well. God is revealed through providence. God has a plan how he has dealt with man throughout all of history. And that's called God's providential hand. Esther is filled with the providence of God. God's name is not mentioned in the book of Esther. But Esther was a Jew who became the queen. And her relative found out about the plot to destroy all the Jews in the land. And he went to Esther and said, "You're going to have to appeal to the king." She said, "The king has not called for me in some time. And you know it's not legal for me to just walk into the throne room and appear to the king." And he said, "If you don't, you could die anyway. Who knows but that you've come to the kingdom for such an hour as this? Who knows but this is God's will for you to do this, to save your people." And she went before the king. He extended her his royal scepter and asked what he could do for her. And she asked for him to come to a feast that she was making and bring Haman, the spawn of Satan that wanted to destroy the whole Jewish nation. And they came. And she revealed that she was a Jew and that Haman wanted to kill her as well as the other Jews. Shortened story, Haman was hung on the gallows he had built to hang the Jews upon. That was God's providential hand of protection. Who knows but that you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Where you are in the job you work, where you are in the family you're in, where you are in the neighborhood you're in. Who knows but that you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. The providential hand of God working through you to do the will of God. We see in the book of Daniel chapter 2, I won't go to that and read the passage. It's Daniel 2, 31 through 45, where Nebuchadnezzar saw a dream, the vision of a great image of a man. And Daniel interpreted for him. God gave him the understanding of what that dream was about. And he said the head was of gold, and that represented Nebuchadnezzar himself and the Babylonian Empire. And then nations would rise after them, and they would decrease in value and power. The first nation was of gold. The second, the arms, was of silver, and that was the Medes and the Persians. And next, the center was of brass, and that was Greece. And then the legs of iron, and that was Rome. And the feet, iron and clay mixed together. And that's basically where we are today. But there's coming a time where Christ will come and destroy the image that has set up itself against God. And God knows the end from the beginning. He knew all along which nation would rise, and it was within His power to make that happen. The last power is the Antichrist. His kingdom will be destroyed in Revelation 19 when Christ returns to this earth to fight the battle of Armageddon and set up His kingdom for 1,000 years. Daniel 7, verse 1 through 28 describes that same event of the dream in a little different characteristic that came to Daniel and refers to those same nations as well. God is revealed through preservation. God has preserved His word, and God is preserved, and how He deals with us is preserved according to His power and His knowledge. In Hebrews 1:10, the scripture says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, thy years shall not fail." But to which of the angels said he at any time, "Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Only Christ, the Son of God, sits on the right hand of God the Father and inherits all things. God has revealed Himself by preservation. He has revealed Himself by providence. He has revealed Himself in nature. God has revealed Himself by miracles. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 2. "Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." John said, "Are you he that should come, or do we look for another?" Jesus said, "The miracles I do are the proof and testimony I am the Messiah, the Son of God, that you are to look for. The lame walk, the dead are raised." The miracles. God did many miracles in the Old Testament. Jesus did many miracles in the New Testament. Did you ever stop and think Satan has miracle working power? Look at Revelation chapter 13 with me. Revelation 13, verse 13. The beasts, the false Christ, they come to power on the earth in the tribulation. Verse 13, "He doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and that the image of the beast should speak, both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all small, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads." that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name or the beast or the number of his name. So that's in the tribulation that the Antichrist will do miracles. Satan is cast down to the earth and he gives power to the Antichrist. He gives power to the false prophet. And there are miracles done. Now, what is every Jewish person looking for as far as a prophet is concerned? Every time they observe the Passover feast, they have certain things they eat in the Passover, certain rituals of their prayers, and they leave an empty chair for Elijah to come. Because Malachi said before the day of Christ, Elijah would come again. And they look for Elijah to come. And what did Elijah do, the great miracle on Mount Carmel? He called down fire out of heaven to devour the sacrifice and to lick up all the water that was there they had poured upon it. That'll be a lie that will deceive many. Thanks be unto God, we know Christ is our Savior. We don't have to be deceived by man-made miracles. I like to watch this TV show sometime on the weekend, I think. It's Penn and Teller, magicians. It's called Fool Us. They bring in magicians from all over the world, and they get to do a trick on stage, an illusion. And if they fool Penn and Teller on how they did it, they get a trophy, and they get a booking to come and speak in their arena. But I like to watch that. It's funny. And there are many things they do. I think, how in the world did they do that? The sleight of hand, the cunningness of man, the abilities that people have. My wife told me, said, Jim, turn your TV to 106. There's a magician on, a woman. So I turned my TV to 106. It was that, what is it? Well, America's Got Talent. They had a woman on there, and she could step behind something, hold a picture up like that, and change clothes that quick. And she did it not one time, but about five or six times. And then she sat down on a big old hula hoop looking thing. They took her up in the air on it, and then it had a cannon blew stuff at her to cover her up. And she came back down completely changed and looked like a wedding dress, big white dress and all that. How in the world they do that stuff? I don't know. But it's fun to watch. But when the Antichrist is working miracles, it's going to be something you can't say was a trick. It's not an illusion. It's a power, and the ability to deceive men is his motive. God is revealed by direct communication. His appearances in the Old Testament to Moses and to Israel from the mountain, he spoke from fire and they heard the voice of God. And they were so terrified, they told Moses, you go talk to God and come back and tell us. We're too scared. We think God will kill us for our sins. If we see him, we won't live. They were right. God said so. Direct communication. There are what's called theophanies, where there's an appearance visibly of God. Moses saw the burning bush, and it burned, but it was not consumed. He went to it, and God spoke to him from the bush and said, take off your shoes, for you're on holy ground. And God spoke to Moses. He spoke to the prophets through visions and dreams and direct communication. And they wrote and preached the books of the Bible for us. In the New Testament, Joseph had a dream that Mary was expectant by the Holy Spirit of God, and that he should take her to be his wife. And so when he arose, they were married. Adam heard God speak. Noah heard God speak. Abraham heard God speak. Moses heard God speak. Direct communication. God is revealed in the incarnation. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse number 14, John said of Christ, Chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word, the Greek word is logos. It means the express image of all that God is was in the person of Jesus Christ. He came and was glorified before Peter and James and John. They saw Him in His glory, and yet they survived. God revealed Himself in the incarnation. Christ took on flesh. That's what incarnation means. To become the Son of Man, that He might be able to be the kinsman redeemer who died in our place and took our sins so that we might be free and be able to come to God. God has revealed through the Scriptures that He has preserved for us. 2 Timothy 3 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable." For believers to become what God wants us to be, the Scriptures give us the power and the direction and the ability to do that. We saw that God is self-sufficient. God is eternal. And God is unchanging. The theological word for that is immutability. God is immutable. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How He deals with man has changed. I understand Deck taught a lesson on the seven dispensations this morning in class. And that's how God changed the way He dealt with man differently in the ages. God dealt with Adam and Eve one way in the garden. He dealt with them another way after they sinned and were put out of the garden. God dealt with Israel by the law. Now He deals with us by grace through faith. And so God's not changed, but how He deals with man changes. And those are called periods of time, dispensations. God is immutable. Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, God said, "For I am the Lord." And that's all capital letters, Lord. That means Jehovah. "I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed." God's promises to Israel were why Israel was still alive. Because they committed enough sins for God to have consumed them. As man became so sinful that his mind was on sin continually, in the early nations of men after the creation, that God sought to destroy the whole earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was a man of righteousness who preached righteousness. God spared him and his family on the ark, and the flood destroyed the rest of mankind. And then one day came where they landed on a mountain. They got out on dry ground and they started a new world with Ham, Shem, and Japheth, the three sons. And those sons populated the three main areas of population. And we came from those sons. Japheth's people were Europeans. Ham's descendants were Africa and Ethiopia. And Seth's descendants are the Oriental regions. And there are many who have married in from one group to another. But all that time, God has been faithful. All His promises will be fulfilled exactly as He said they would take place. God is the Lord. He's faithful. He keeps covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. That's a long time. We are to be the people who love and obey Him. And if so, God will keep all His promises to us. He's given us all we need for a life of godliness to live on this earth. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. What God has prepared for you and me in heaven, you don't have to worry about floods, we don't have to worry about hurricanes, we don't have to worry about storms of any kind. Everything there is made by God and it'll be eternal. Wherein you greatly rejoice. I see verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation. We're living on this earth. It'd be nice if God saved us, just took us on to heaven right then. But he lets us live on this earth to be a witness for him, to be an example of his grace and mercy to us. He has a job for us to do, whatever it may be. And one day he'll take us to heaven to be with him. He's got that planned. God has given us all things that we need because he has wisdom to know what we have need of. Before we ask in prayer, he already knows what you have need of. And yet we are to pray. He has wisdom from above that is not like earthly wisdom. It is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. You see, God is good. Part of his attributes. He is good. Nahum 1:7 says, the Lord is good, stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Psalm 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. God is good, friends. He's been good to you. He's been good to me. He's been good to us as a church. Everything we have that is good is by the grace of God that has come from him. God was absolute in the measure of goodness to Israel and to Moses. He revealed to Moses just a portion of himself. He hid Moses in the cleft of the rock and put his hand in front of Moses, and then he let him see the back part of him as he passed by. If he had allowed him to look upon him all, he would have died from that. Exodus 33:19. He would make his goodness pass before Moses. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. There's only one true God, and he's sovereign and superior to all others, supreme in power, rank, and authority, above all. He deserves our worship and our praise. God revealed to David that David was going to be king of Israel and his descendants would reign on the throne of Israel as kings. And the reference, whether David understood it all or not, I don't know. But the reference is the fact that Christ would come through the lineage of David and Christ will be King of kings and Lord of lords. And David said, wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all we have heard. And he says, what is my family that you have made me this position and made of us? The Lord is good. And he will bless us. He has the power to do anything he wants to do. He is not hindered by anything. Angels have been hindered in the book of Daniel, but God is not hindered. You and I are hindered by many things. We promise people all the time, I'm going to do so and such. I'm going to see you on this day. I'm going to pay you back this money I borrowed from you. And then something happens, and they don't have the ability to do what they promised to do. That's why it's best not to loan money to people. If you got the money and you want to give it to them, that's great. Bless you for that. But when you loan money, you get angry when they don't pay you back. People promise a lot of things, and then something happens, they don't have the ability to do it. God has promised to save us and keep us by grace through faith, and there's nothing that can hinder what God has promised. He has all power, omnipotence. He has all knowledge, omniscience. He can be in every place at the same time. That's the fact that God is omnipresent. He's here with us today. We invite the Lord Jesus in our midst to be with us in our worship of our God and praise Him today for sparing you in this terrible storm that many were not spared. My wife said, you know, there's been a lot of promotion of Asheville, North Carolina about witches. And there's many stores up there that sell all that stuff that goes along with witchcraft and all that sort of thing. I'm not going to say that's why Asheville got it worse than anybody else. They already knew, projected there was going to be 20 inches of rain up there where other places got 12 inches of rain. But God spared us. I prayed for all of you, for your homes, your property. Pray that God would spare us in that terrible storm that was coming. I remember when Hugo came through, I stayed up all night that night praying, asking for God to deliver us and protect us and help us. We lost some shingles off the roof. We lost storm door, ripped it off. We had a mobile home at that time, had underpinning, metal underpinning. It ripped all that out from under it. Trees broke and fell in four different directions around our house. We were not harmed. The worst thing that happened, we lost a few shingles. But the insurance company paid. Bobby Anglin lost a few shingles. And we were the only ones in the church. Insurance paid for us to get new roofs on our house. It was actually a blessing that the shingles got blown off. And God protected us. And God can protect you from the storms that come. Stay close to Him. Get to know more about Him. He's revealed Himself for us to know and worship. Father, thank You for Your word. Bless Your people today, I pray. Help us to worship You and serve You and praise You for all the good You do. And Lord, most of all, for the fact that You've saved us and kept us by the power of God. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.